Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Niyeh Bedvaro.
Amen.
We turn to Siyata Nishmaya to this coming week's Parsha, to Parsha's Truma. And we find after Moshe Rabbeinu was told, Vasuli Mikdash Shachati Besocham, we have to start then fashioning the Kalim that will be contained therein. And thus, turning to Parsha's Truma, per Chafei Posegyud, Vyosu Oranat Se Shitim, Hamasai Machetzi Arko, Vama Vachetzi Rochbo, Vyama Vachetzi Kamaso, your fashion and Oren. Tzipiso Sozav, Tahari Yatzakal Arba Tabo Zohav, you'll have the four golden rings around and circling the Oron, and you will have the two Tabas, Atzolo Echas, two Tabos, Al Tzolo Hashenis. And then we read in Posegyud Gimel, Vyasisa Vadei Atzei Shitim, Tzipiso Sozav, you will make poles of Shitim, wood, you will cover them with gold, and metamos oran you abadim lo yasuri menu, they will never be removed. What's this idea of never removing the badim? And so Rav Hirsch writes as follows, Mamish Gavaldik Inyan. Hirsch writes, the badim were an essential part of the ark's symbolical structure, so much so that according to the implication of Scripture, they had to be on the ark even before the tablets were placed in it and the cover placed over it. Before you inserted the Luchas and Shivrei Luchas into the Aron, they are already inside the ark. They are already on top of the ark. Why can they never be removed? So, writes of Hirsch Givaldik, he says, the Badim of the Aron symbolized the destiny and the mission of carrying the Ark and its contents beyond the precincts of its present standing place, if this becomes necessary. What's the idea of the command never to remove the poles from the Ark? It establishes from the outset and for all time to come the truth that this Torah and its mission are not confined to the soil on which the sanctuary and the temple once stood. The constant presence of the Badim testifies that God's Torah is not bound or dependent on any particular place. Testimony that it is bold, that is boldly underscored by the contrast between the ark and the other furnishings of the sanctuary, especially the table on the menorah, which do not have permanently attached Badim. Wherein lies the difference? Israel's table, the Shulchan in Israel's Menorah, the fullness of its material life and the flowering of its spiritual life are bound to the soil of the Holy Land, but Israel's Torah is not. This, wherever you are, wherever you carry the Mishkan, it's not totally on Kedusha Sa'aretz. The Aron intrinsically represents all the Kedusha, all the holiness of Klal Yisrael. You can never take it away. Why? Because the symbol of the destiny of what the Aron, what the Torah represents, it traverses all places. It doesn't matter where it is. The Aron can be taken, traveling. It's that which sustains Klai Yisrael Dori Doris. It's not totally on having a specific amokum. It's not totally on Kedusha Sa'aretz. And that's the symbol of the Badei Ha'aron never being removed. We have another fascinating aspect of the Badei. Rav Hirsch writes earlier, taking us to Malachim Aleph Perches, writes Rav Hirsch, the essential importance of the poles to the ark is affirmed by the prohibition. They may never be removed from the ark in contrast to the poles of the other furnishings. Moreover, from Malachim Aleph 8:8, we learn that the front ends of these poles caused the ark curtain to bulge out, so that although they were covered by the curtain, they were still visible. To anyone in the sanctuary, they were the sole visible evidence of the existence in the ark of the covenant behind the curtain. But what is that really all about? So number one, Rav Hirsch, which he's Marichon, the Badim, these poles would never be removed as opposed to the Shulchan and those of the Menorah. To tell you what, that the Aron is always carried everywhere, Eretz Yisrael beyond in Golos, and this is the Kedusha Satayra. What's the symbolism though, and the Badei Aron bulging out from the curtain of separating the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadosh? As we read in Malachim Aleph Ches, Vayirichu Abadim, they extended Vayiro Rashi Abadim and Hakodesh Al Pnei Adivir V'lo Yiro Achutza. You didn't see the actual poles, but the poles went and bulged out from the curtain of the Devir of the Kodesh HaKadosh, Vayusham Adi Yom Hazeh. Writes Rashi, and the paroches keneged the Pesach and the Amatrax, and Yochayu Makarin Bavayotzin, you might think that maybe they pierced, they cut through the curtain and they stuck out to Malomar, v'lo yiroa chutzah, you wouldn't see the actual golden poles. Haketza dochkin ubolten, kein shnei dade isha kinyan shenemar ben shada yalim. Hashem HaMelech writes in Shir Shirim Prakal Pasuk Yud Gimel. What does this mean? Hashem speaking to Klal Yisrael. The Shechina dwells between the Shada Yalin, between the two breasts of a woman. What's this idea all about? In Shada Yalin, it's a reference to the poles of the Badei Ha'aron that were bolate from the Parochas Keshnei Dodei Isha. And the Mitzvah David. The Malbim, all this idea that you had the Dugmas, Ashadayim, Amaleim, Cholov, Zok, the Malbim, but what's this all about? I remember reading in a Sefer years ago, a fascinating Sefer called Suf Devash. It's by an Einikol, the Chassam Sefer, Bekiva Sofer, and he writes how he was one time on a train, and he was sitting down in the train, he was learning, and he heard Maskilim talking about ridiculing the Torah Kedosha. They were sitting on the train right nearby, and they were making fun of Shir Shirim. They said, look at the metaphors of this romance novel that Shlomo Melech writes. Look at the metaphors that he invokes. And they were deriding Shlomo Melech, and they were deriding the sanctity of the Torah. How can the Torah be holy? And look at the Lashonis that we use. We talk about different body parts, v'chulei. How can this be? And they start making fun of the Torah. And Reb Sofer, here's what's going on. He stops, he interrupts him, and he says, let me explain to you. He says, Avada, all the imagery that Shlomo Melech invokes, Avada, it's always, he's makben on being Shomer B'Kedusha B'Tara. Aye, but why invoke this at all, that people like you are going to start making fun of it? He says, Shlomo Melech went for these choice metaphors by definition, because they are here to teach us that which nothing else could teach us. They're here to give us the best illustration of a certain idea, and a Mela, this is the best idea. The Torah has to be accurate, and this is the singular best idea, he says, L'moshol. So they were making fun of how the Badei Aaron would be bolate from the Parochis Kishnei Dodi Isha. He says, well, you know why we have that example, Ben Shana Yolin? He says, because when a mother nurses a child, all the nourishment, all the sustenance come out of the Shnei Shadayach, out of the Dodi Isha. Amela, we're going to look at the Beis HaMikdash, and we're going to always see the Shnei Badei Aaron that are bolate from the Parochis Kishnei Dodi Isha. That's going to remind us continuously that what? That the sustenance, the nourishment of God's Klai Yisrael comes achrach from here. The Avishter is nursing and sustaining all of the Jewish people, the Dorei Doros, from this Malkum, from the Malkum of the Luchas and Shevei Luchas. Eina Hanami, people might make a mistake and distort that sense of imagery, but it's here to give us the very singular best emotional possible. This is the nourishment of God's Klai Yisrael, and that's why we have it to Mela. On the heels of that, we can understand also in the Medrashim by Bereshis Rabbah and Vayik Rabbah, Avishur took all of Klai Yisrael, Ben Shadi Yalan, and he took all the millions of Iba Klai Yisrael, and he put them in between the two Badim. Avishur could have counted them anywhere. He could have just brought them into the Kosher Kedoshim. Either way, it was going to be a fantastic miracle. What's the symbolism? You have to place them between the two Badim. Terence is what Avishur says, I'm nursing you, I'm cradling you in my bosom. The Phineas Taiti, Hashem could have counted them anywhere. He could have counted them by the Menorah, could have counted them by the Shulchan, could have counted them between the bottom of the Shulchan, could have counted them in the Holy of Holies. Terence is what? He's Davka counting them in the Malkum to say, you're precious to me like a mother nursing a child. That's how I'm sustaining you. And I'm nourishing you. I'm counting you what? Like the mother's attention to the child. But it's even more. As a Gavaldika, Pachad Yitzchak and Igros, Iksovim, Igrayim, and Dalit. It's taken from a sicha that Rav Huna Zatzal, the Rosh Yeshiva Chaim Bolin, once gave to the Talmidim in the Mechina of Yeshiva of Eastern Parkway. Third day of Chanukah, Shnas Toshin Chav Gimel, Rav Huna got up to speak to the Yeshiva in Eastern Parkway, and he was talking about the difference between Talmidei HaYeshiva versus Bnei HaYeshiva, and he quotes from Chaim Elozhin. Chaim Elozhin opted for the bitoy, the expression of Bnei HaYeshiva. That Bochumah were learning, they're not Stam Tamidim, they're Bnei Yeshiva, they're Bonim in the Yeshiva, and they're living there in the Yeshiva. And then he writes as follows, Lefnei Zman Kotzin is Damin Li Me'ura Kezeh, the following incident happened, and not too long ago, he says, I want to tell you over my conversation with him, a Sifta Ingol. Shaltiya, so I asked him, he says, I know you have a Rebbe who teaches you Gemara. Ula Havda may Kodesh Lachol, you have a Mori, you have a teacher who teaches you secular subjects. So I want to know, Hayma Yachashacho Shava Ulashneim, O Shamar Gishata Hevda Ubiyascho Lahem. Do you have? What's your perspective towards the Rebbe who's teaching you Gemara and the teacher, the professor, is teaching you secular subjects? So listen what he answers. He thought for a few moments, and then he told me, "Has Bora Mazhirai." Tell me the following Hesber. He says, "My yachas to the mother of the mudechol is someone who's taking food from a cook, someone who's cooking in a kitchen. And my yachas, my relationship to my Rebbe, is like a child who is nourishing from his meinekes. He is yonik from his mother. Aminekes mazines a yonik betzavtis chayeha. She's giving over a chelik of her panemia. She's giving from the chalav that's produced inside. She's giving me a piece of herself, but the one who's cooking has given me a dover habal gamri menachutz. And you have a chef in the kitchen. He collects the carrots and the cucumbers, the chicken, and he puts together a chicken soup. And it all exists externally. Mashaking, the milk that's produced is produced internally. My Rebbe teaching me Gemara, he's giving me over a piece of himself, a chelik of his atzmius, of his etzamahus. I'm a sheik in the Mora, the teacher who's giving me the secular subjects. He or she went to university, they collected, accumulated a lot of wisdom, and now they're presenting to me that wisdom, and they're not giving me over a piece of themselves. Achras di alav, I said, from this mishpat, mi mesivtingol, I announced upon him of Tuchani, I'm confident, as she emor harobi Yisrael. Azai, what an einfold that he came up with this. We don't know what happened to him, but Lamaisa Vuna said, "I'm guaranteed he's going to be a Mora Rabbi Yisrael." Wish I had the end of the story for you. But Al Kapon Ravuna says, "Let's be a Mamshich Lekam Hala." Right, so Vuna, you can have a chef cooking in the kitchen, and when the chef is cooking for 10 people, for 20 people, it's just a matter of adding on to the ingredients. Mashenkin, a mother nursing a child, even if she has two children, each child is nursed independently, individually, and that's the yachas of a Rebbe to a Talmud. There can be 10 bachrim in the shir, there can be 30 bachrim in the shir. But as Rav Chana writes, the zach of what it means to be a Rebbe is you're teaching individuals. You're not teaching a collective amount of bochrim. You're speaking to each one as a olamone mole lifnei atzmo. And that's a mother nursing a child. She's nursing one child at a time. Meshenkin, the chef doesn't have a personal relationship with the students. And the chef, with the individuals he's feeding. And whether he's feeding 30 or whether he's 50, it's just more carrots, it's more cucumbers, it's more celery in the chicken soup. More pieces of chicken. Mashenkin, the Rebbe is like a mother nursing a child. Samamish how gevaldik, the shnei bodei arun would be bolei to like the shnei bodei aisha, like the tzuf devash. And why is that the choice metaphor? To illustrate that the Eibishter is sustaining God's klai. So when he brings klai so together, dafka between the two bodei arun, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm nourishing, I'm sustaining you like the mother nursing child, but highlighting the very nature, the tzura of such a yachas, of such a relationship. It's the Rebbe teaching his children like the mother nursing his child. I treat you all as individuals. You're all to me like one. I'm nursing each and every one of you at the same time, and Abish just says, I'm giving you a piece of myself. I'm giving you a piece of myself, Abish just says. Not the wisdom that exists outside of me. I'm nursing you, and I'm giving you mamash and etzame atzama. I'm giving you a piece of myself. That's why I relate to the Tegan's Klaius or Mela. If we could sushtel, we've mentioned many times the Hagdama of the Sefer Alumas Yosef from Aaron Yosef Jolti, the brother of the Mishnah Yavitz, and his Hagdama to his Alumas Yosef in the Ramah, where he asks the Kasha, what's the Chiddush of the son Shlomo Melech? David Melech already writes and tells him, Yates Yer Aleph, that the Torah's Mesukim Midavash Menofasufim, it's sweeter than honey, and the dripping is a honeycomb, so along comes Shlomo his son. And Shlomo writes in Shir Shir and Pregdala Posek Yer Aleph, Devash Vecholav Tachas Lashonech, ask the Alumas Yosef. So what's the Chiddush of Shlomo? His Tati, David HaMelech, in his magnum opus, in the Sefer Tehillim, he already told us the Torah is sweeter than honey. So what's Shlomo adding? Writes the Alumas Yosef, David the Tati was referring to a person learning Beino Levein Atzmo. When you're learning by yourself, you have to taste the sweetness and the honey. That's your own individualized learning experience. Shlomo was adding, Devash V'chalov Tachas L'shonech, when you move your tongue to speak the words of Torah, to transmit the Torah to your children, to meet them, to the next generation. And when you want to give them over the sweetness, give them over the Devash. Don't just keep it for yourself. Share the sweetness with others. Ankan the Alumas Yosef. So he asked the Kasha, Alamas Maisa. So David didn't mention chalav. David didn't bring to the table any mention of milk. And milk is not necessarily known as the sweetest thing. So why did Shlomo add on milk? Phineas Taiti, Alpi Rav Nerutzke Shmak. Who adds milk? David doesn't add milk because like the Ilum HaShoyseh, David is talking about when you're learning Bein Chol Bein Atzmcha, you're learning by yourself, you should taste the sweetness of honey. But like the Ilum HaShoyseh, that Shlomo's adding Dvash L'Tachas L'Shoneh. When you're giving it over, moving your tongue to teach other people, give them over the sweetness. Dalka Shlomo was talking about being a Malame L'Acherim, only he adds Cholav. Why does he add Cholav? Like Rav Huner, Nigrai, and Dalet, he's not telling us the sweetness. There's nothing sweeter than honey. That was the quintessential sweetener. We mentioned Isaac Asimov, Book of Facts, page 96, until the Crusaders came over from Eastern Europe in the 11th, 12th century and bought over sugar. There was nothing else in the time of Tanakh that was sweet. Honey was the sweetest thing. So what do you add on milk? Anything that you add on to honey is going to detract from honey. Terence says, only Shlomo adds on milk. Why? He's not talking about the sweetness of milk. He's talking about the need of milk. That milk, whether by a woman, whether by a cow, whether by a goat, it's produced from within. It's a chalik of the atzmius of the etzim ha'os. Shlomo says, Devash Tachas L'Shoinei. Not only should you give over and teach the sweetness of Torah, but give it over to Tzur of Cholav. Let the Tamidim know that you're giving over a piece of yourself. You're giving them over the Cholav that's produced from within. The same way that the Luchas and Shivrei Luchas and the Aron, which had its bottom that were bowling from the Parachas Kishnei Dali Aisha. This is what's sustaining the world. The Eibishter is nursing each of us individually and is giving over a piece of himself. Kaviyochol Kutcha Baruchu. The Yisro of Araisa Chanu. It's one on the same. Where Hashem is giving over chelik of his pinim, yes, that's Davka, the choice mashal, like the Tzuf Tavash, and the Shnei Dadi Isha Gatanach, and a great rest of the week ahead. Ali Short tonight in Mitzvah Hashem in the Daf Yomi room 9 to 9:30. Amen.